Numbers chapter 6. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And in chapter 6, we're going to look at the vow of the Nazarite. We look at chapter 6, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of the Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. So the Nazarite wasn't to touch any type of alcoholic beverage or anything that pertained to a vineyard, such as grapes or grape juice or raisins, nothing. For all the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. So he was to be completely separated unto God, not isolated from people, but separated unto God. His life was to be a life of serving the Lord, devotion to God, without anything that would distract him. And these outward signs were symbolic of his commitment to the Lord and his complete dedication at the time. Verse 5, all the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separates himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of his hair grow. Now, long hair on a man was a symbol of weakness. And so for a man to have long hair, not cut his hair, the Holy Spirit was illustrating the fact that man is weak. Doesn't matter who he is, spiritually speaking, he is weak. And it was a humbling thing for the man to grow the long hair. It was an admittance of weakness and complete dependence on God. And isn't it amazing that when we are completely dependent on God and we know our weaknesses, when something happens that shows us our weakness, that we are separated unto the Lord more often than not, at least if we have a relationship with him, that will be the result. 6, all the days that he separates himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. So he can't even be in the presence of a dead body, cannot touch a dead body, certainly. Verse 7, he shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. So even if a loved one died, he wasn't to touch them. Verse 8, all the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he has defiled the dead of his consecration, in other words, he has touched the dead body, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. Verse 10, and on the eighth day he shall bring two turtle doves, or two young pigeons, to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and shall make an atonement for him, for that he sinned by the dead, and shall hollow his head that same day. So he broke the vow, and that was a sin, because God expects us to keep our vows to him. Verse 12, and he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering. But the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. It was interrupted. 13, by the being in the presence of a dead person. 13, and this is the law of the Nazarite when the days of his separation are fulfilled. He shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for peace offerings. Verse 15, and a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and their meat offering, and their drink offerings. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord, and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering, and he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord. With the basket of unleavened bread, the priest shall offer also his meat offering and his drink offering. So, when the time for the fall vow, Nazarite vow, expired, the Nazarite brought the wide range of offerings to the tabernacle, and there was a reason for each one of them. The sin offering was to atone for any unintentional sin committed during the period of the vow. The burnt offering symbolized his total devotion to the Lord. The fellowship offering symbolized that he and the Lord were in harmony with each other. Verse 18, and the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it in the fire which is under the sacrifice of the peace offerings. Verse 19, and the priest shall take the sodden shoulder of the ram and one unleavened cake out of the basket and one unleavened wafer, and shall put them upon the hands of the Nazarite after the hair of his separation is shaven. And the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. This is holy for the priest, and the wave breast and heave shoulder. And after that, the Nazarite may drink wine. This is the law of the Nazarite who has vowed and of his offering unto the Lord for his separation. Beside that his hand shall get, according to the vow which he vowed, so he must do after the vow of his separation. In an act that symbolized the commitment, the entire commitment of the Nazarite experience to the Lord, the person shaved his hair and then burnt it on the altar of his fellowship offering. And then he made a wave offering of the finest portion of his fellowship offering. And the wave offering meant the portion was presented as a sacrifice to the Lord. And then it was presented to the officiating priest. 22. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Now, this is a priestly blessing that we are about to see. It was a divinely inspired prayer, which is really a valuable thing to see in Scripture. When you see God inspire a prayer, well, that's one to pray. Not in a mindless manner, but to think through the words and pray it unto God. Anyway, this priestly blessing would request that God would meet every need of his people. What a wonderful prayer to be inspired by God. Listen to it. Verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. So, what God has said in this prayer is this: may God provide you with all the good things that you need. May he also guard you from anyone or anything that would hurt you in any way. And it continues in verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. So when Moses spoke to God, you know, on Mount Sinai, remember that? Everyone knew that he had been with the Lord. Why? Because his face lit. It shined with the glory of God. And the prayer here is that the Lord's presence would be known and felt by his people. May his face shine upon you. May it be so evident to everybody that you have been in the presence of God and God is in your presence. So the prayer is that his presence would be made known through an abundance of grace that God would pour out on them. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The priest was to pray, and God's people were to pray, that the Lord would lift up his countenance upon them. In other words, that God would turn his face toward them with a gracious smile. And when the God of the universe looks at you and smiles, you've got it made. You're in good shape. And one major result of that is going to be peace. And not just an absence of war. I'm talking about inner peace. Talking about contentment that comes from knowing that you are in fellowship with God and there's nothing standing between you. And it's a wonderful thing. 27, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The Lord says that by pronouncing this blessing, what will the result be? You pronounce this blessing on his people. The Lord will be with his people, and they will experience that reality through the abundance of blessing. What a wonderful prayer inspired by God. And you know, when God inspires a prayer, he's going to answer it yes, because it's right in line with his will. And the Bible says, if you ask anything according to the will of God, you know that you have it.